like to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Lord God, in this moment, as we have worshipped, as we have praised, as we have focused on the body and blood of Jesus Christ, as we have thought of the cross, rejoiced in the resurrection, stated that we believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we have heard the prophetic, as we have heard your words spoken over us this morning, God, as we see the thread of the songs, as we see what has been spoken over our church today, Lord God, we magnify you in this place. And Lord, we take a hold of your word, and the best thing we can do this morning is listen and apply. So Lord, help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to each of us, and then to apply what our God is asking of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You notice there's a lot of sales on all the time. I'm a bit disappointed Rugs and Million went out of business because they don't have their ads anymore. You always look forward to them every week. Really, there's a rug sale on this week. So many sales this time of year. There's the pre-Christmas sales where we're being encouraged to buy anything and everything that we could possibly want and desire. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas. I have great fond memories of growing up and the special Christmases that we had. But this whole pressure to keep up with everybody else and get the latest thing, you know, it's quite confronting, I think. So there's been the pre-Christmas sales and there's been the Boxing Day sale. I went to a Boxing Day sale once. I'll never go again. It's horrible. Chris gets a bit upset because she loves to go to these kinds of things, and I just won't go. I hate crowds anyway, and I hate fighting somebody for something. I'd rather not get it than fight someone for it. And if it's there later, well, good on me. To be honest with you, I see sales all year, really. I've watched Burns for Blinds. They've got a special sale on, and it's better than the one before. Soon we'll get stuff for nothing from Burns for Blinds. And then there's the whole New Year sales, you know, getting everything ready for New Year. Before we know it, it'll be back to school sales, and then it'll be Easter sales, and they've started, have they? Yeah, well, not surprised. I saw Officeworks, they said that if you take your school list, they'll beat it by 20%. Let's give all our money to the big corporations, we'll be good. And then, of course, there are stock take sales. Now, I noticed that people were talking about stock take sales like a couple of days ago. And my attitude to that is, how the heck did you do a stock take between Christmas and New Year? Surely you were busy enough selling, but there's stock take sales on. I think it's a con. You think it's a con? Stock take sales. I mean, who had time to do a stock take? How often do you do a stock take at Target? Once a year. February? That's an odd time, isn't it? Not really. After Christmas, they've got to check what they got. You see, every good business makes an inventory. They take stock of what they've got and what they haven't got. They, if you like, they do an audit of themselves. A lot of companies do it at the end of the financial year to see how they've been going, whether they've succeeded, what it is that worked for them, what didn't work for them. You know, they check their current assets. What have we got on stock? What have we got in the place? What do we still own? What do we still possess? And then they try to remove old stock. Who knows that right now you can get Christmas decks real cheap. You can get Christmas stuff for next year really cheap now if you want it. So you better choose what color you want for next year now. Where are you going to put it? That's a point. It's true. So, you know, they want to remove the old stock, get rid of stuff that they've got that they don't want anymore. And yesterday, Chris and I did a little bit of shopping. We both need some clothes desperately. I came back. I'm still wearing the same shirt every Sunday. And so we desperately needed some new clothes. So up until now, we haven't really felt like it. It's like you go out and you go, nah. But one thing she nagged me about is that she wanted me to get a nice, comfortable chair. Because I'm not much into TV, and I get uncomfortable sitting on couches. I like a nice armchair. And so she's been at me. We've been out many times looking for chairs, and I can't find the right one. You know, you sit down and you go, or you sit down and go, nope, straight away. You just know. And I looked at a couple, and she said, well, you should go back and get that one. I said, no, I'm not finished yet. I'm not just picking something for the sake of picking something. And so yesterday, I wasn't going to do anything yesterday. I was going to be lazy. And she said, let's go out shopping. I said, great, I have to have a shower now. I have to put clothes on. She's the luckiest girl on the planet, I'm telling you now. So I decided, okay, let's go look for a chair. And so she lined off all these places we should go. And the first one we went to, there was all these chairs. And we told the lady the story of why I was looking for a chair. And we told her about the fire and how, you know, I haven't been comfortable. And I end up either sitting on an office chair or laying on the day bed. That's all I do. And I needed somewhere to sit so I can read. I love to read. I'm not much of a TV person. I love to sit and read. I needed somewhere comfortable. So we went through every single chair in the place and I couldn't find anything. And I found a couple of bucket chairs, but Chris said, they're no good because they only come about here. And if you fall asleep in the chair, it'll hurt your neck. So I'm at that age where I sometimes do fall asleep in the chair. Sometimes, often. And so we found this particular chair and it was liquidated stock. It was something that they could no longer make and they wanted to get rid of it. So lucky me, $180 off. So I grabbed this great chair and Chris likes it because it goes little bits at the side, so if I fall asleep, my head does that. It's really good. And so because it's liquidated stock, one on the ground, they don't make them anymore, they can deliver by Wednesday. Whereas if we'd gone somewhere else, it would have taken 14 weeks to make the chair. God, their carpenters must be slow. So you see stock take stuff going on all the time. You know, the companies are assessing their future needs. They're doing this whole audit. There's adjusting what's working and what's not working. What sells, what doesn't sell. But I want to tell you something. The Christian life is a lot like that. Not saying that we need to take a stock take, but we need a spiritual inventory of our lives to take stock of what's going on. Are we on the right track? Are there any changes each of us need to make in our lives? You know, I think of this stuff all the time as a church leader. I think of the church. What can we do differently? What are we doing that's not working? What can we do to make the things that aren't working work? You know, what needs to be improved? What needs to be tweaked? I'm doing this all the time. And you know, if any of you have got any ideas, please help me. But we need to do it as individuals as well in our own Christian life. So I want you to read with me from Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7, and I read this scripture a couple of weeks ago when I preached about discipleship. Do you remember the cost of discipleship and the cost of no discipleship, how that cost is higher? So Philippians chapter 3 from verse 7, but whatever were gains to me I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. I believe that the spiritual inventory of a Christian, the very thing Paul is talking about, needs to be something that is ongoing in our lives. Self-examination is actually a principle of the kingdom. We do this at communion. Now, I know that communion is about focusing on Christ and what he's done for us and on the body and the blood. I know that. But there's a large part of it, and Paul talks about it in Corinthians, about how a man must examine himself. Self-examination is a principle of the kingdom of God. And we would be wise to continually self-examining. That's why every time at communion, I kind of make this stop and go, yeah, you know, stuff I did this week that I shouldn't have done. And I do. I want to try and get back on track again. So praise God we have communion every week. But we should be doing it daily, moment by moment, circumstance by circumstance, thing by thing. So what is the purpose of an inventory? Well, we seem more open to such things around New Year's Eve because there's this whole thing of New Year's resolutions. Could we have the first screen up, please, Julian? We think about New Year's resolutions. And, you know, there's this big joke about how you make resolutions, but you break them in the first week. And many of us do that, don't we? But the things, most things that people talk about is going to the gym or losing weight or all these kinds of things. Can I be honest with you? We really need to make some resolutions about our spiritual lives, more than anything. As I say, it's a thing that we should be doing all the time. But right now, people focus on that much, much more. I know that people are starting to declutter their lives and their homes. I know that Annette's been doing it for a couple of years now, and she has this great process that she goes through. She tells me about it, and it's like, I admire her. She's the most organized person I know, as far as, you know, anything. She knows how to organize her life, and she's been decluttering for some time. Chris and I decluttered in early November. And I have to be honest with you, there is this huge sense of loss about some of the things, and there's this huge sense of that's gone. But can I say, and it may sound strange, there's a freedom in that. We don't feel encumbered. I do feel lost, I have to be honest with you. I feel I'm in limbo. I don't feel like I belong anywhere right now. I know it seems strange, and you might say, oh, that's because, you know, you haven't found exactly where you're going to end up living, and that's one. But I feel, I haven't got a chair yet, but I feel in limbo. I feel a little bit lost, but I do feel a little bit free. I feel unencumbered. And for those of you that are afraid that because we haven't got roots anywhere at the moment, we're going to leave this church, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. So if you are hoping I'm going, you better think again. Damn, he said, that was going to be one of my New Year resolutions. God hasn't told us to move. He's drawn a line in the sand, but he's not told us to do anything just yet. We've crossed that line. He's got it there, and he's saying, don't go. He's not saying, now you're going to leave something, because we've got nothing to leave, if that makes sense. But decluttering our lives and taking inventory of our lives and taking this spiritual stock take, if you like, is incredibly important. So what is the purpose of an inventory? The first one is this. An inventory implies unfinished business. If you're taking inventory of something, it means you're going to do something after that. It is unfinished business. Taking stock suggests that there might be a need for some change because you're on a journey somewhere. You're doing something. You're going somewhere with your business or with your life. Assessing what you've achieved. So think, what have I achieved this year? I think it's strange that we have this cutoff point and we have all these fireworks and that's the end of that and it's the start of something else. Every day should be fireworks. No, you know what I mean? Why is it that it's this time we do it? Why didn't we do it on July the 11th? Or why didn't we do it on September 15th? Why does it have... I guess because we're kind of geared to think that way. And I wonder whether we should change the gearing of our thinking, perhaps. But we assess what's been achieved. What's on hand? What is still needed? What's been unprofitable? And what do I need to make my life more profitable? We need to recognize there's always room for growth. There's room for businesses to grow, there's room for churches to grow, and there's room for each of us to personally grow. Might I suggest to you that a church doesn't grow unless the personals grow? If we as individuals grow, guess what's going to happen to our church? It's going to grow. I don't just mean numerically, I mean spiritually. Now, I believe that, you know, I believe that we need to grow numerically because God's aim is for the kingdom to grow. That's his purpose. But we need to recognize there's always room for growth. We can't just go, you know, I've done really well in my Christian life this year. I'll just take 2009 in, I'll sit in my new armchair and read. So on a scale, let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being perfection, where are you? Now, I know that perfection is impossible this side of heaven. But if 100 is perfection, is the example of Christ, and Christ-likeness. On a scale of 1 to 100, where are you? So how far do you have to go until you get perfect? I would suggest that every year we're never going to get perfect, but we should be closer. We should be more Christ-like than we were 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago. There's always new steps into Christ-likeness. So I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, that's a big step to follow, and no deceit was found in his mouth. That's a hard step to follow. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Who's got that perfectly right this year? We haven't. There's a way to go. We're taking a spiritual inventory this morning. We're taking stock take to decide what needs to go and what needs to be done. We should never think there's no more to learn. We should never think there's no more to achieve. We should never think there's no improvement needed. I must admit, I'm not a huge fan of Bible colleges, because people go away and they learn in this little fake environment, and many of them come back and don't apply what they've learned. I've seen a lot of people who've got biblical degrees and all sorts, and they don't use it. And that bothers me. But at least they're going to learn. At least they're going somewhere to learn. And the fact of the matter is that God wants us to learn, to grow, to develop in our Christian lives. The fact is that I think we do discipleship better like this. Rubbing shoulders with one another. Sharpening iron. I do the ironing. I know, Chris, I know. She buys clothes that don't need ironing, so she doesn't have to iron. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to get shirts that don't need ironing? Ones that look half decent on me anyway. But we should never be satisfied with business as usual. As Annette preached the other week, you know. At least. We should never have business as usual. We should be on this journey of unfinished business, if you like. The second one is this. What's the purpose of an inventory? It implies unfinished business. Number two, an inventory prepares for progress. Don't think you've learned it all. Again, I've seen people go to Bible college and they come back and they think they don't have to learn anymore. Really? There's so much to learn. You know, I've been preaching now for 22 years. And I'm learning stuff all the time. I'm learning and relearning things all the time. You cannot open God's word and say, oh, there's nothing there. So much in the word of God. And some people say, oh, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Big deal. What's God showing you in it? But an inventory prepares for progress. In business, valuable knowledge is gained from an inventory. It helps make decisions for growth and improvement. Where is it? What areas do I? Do you know what? Since the fire, you ask Chris, I'm really nice on the road. I keep my distance. I don't get upset with anybody. I let them all in. It's just, maybe you will need a fire if you're bad drivers. I don't know. And I wouldn't wish that on you, please. But it's like, finally I've cracked this impatience thing. Chris will tell you, I walk slowly now. Unless there's an appointment and a time, I walk slowly now. Now, I get up in the morning, it's like, I go down to church, wander down. Yeah, but it's because I wake up early. No, I don't do it in my pajamas. I do not leave the house except when I'm fully clothed. But we have to take an inventory and work out, what am I still doing wrong that needs to change, and what do I need to do that's right? And I'm not saying that my impatience is gone, but it's weird. It's quite strange. I find it quite odd. But a business owner cannot ride on their past successes. He or she has to prepare for the future. A business doesn't grow if you don't invest more time and energy into it. And the businesses that survive are those that are adaptable, those that are open to necessary change, important change, not just for change's sake. No good just changing a business for the sake of changing a business. You have to change it for a necessary change, an important change. And with a spiritual inventory, you have to do three things that we just read in Peter. Three things. Number one, learn from your mistakes. What has held me back? What could I have done better this year? What did I do wrong? And what did I not do that I should have done? So learn from your mistakes. But more importantly, what I like that Peter says next, he says, forget what is behind. Learn from it, but forget it. Leave it there. Don't take it with you into the next year. You'll never make progress if you're bogged down with guilt or reliving your past mistakes. Oh, I thought by now I'd be better than this. That's pity. Self-pity. Don't get bogged down with what you didn't achieve last year. Use it as a measuring stick. I did that. That's gone. But now I want to try and do that instead. Don't live there. Learn from there, but don't live there. It's not going to help you. So if you've got any guilt about this last year, it's gone. Get rid of it. Learn from it. And the third thing, which I like Peter says, is this. Straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. How much straining are you doing? A few people smiled then. I know what you're thinking. A good businessman will try to anticipate possible problems. He'll look ahead and go, you know, this could happen, that could happen. What's our backup plan if that goes wrong, or if we don't get to get rid of that, or sell this, or do this? And he strategizes for those things. So the question I ask is, what lies ahead for you? What lies ahead for us in 2019? Here's the answer. Only God knows. You cannot anticipate everything that's going to happen next year. But what you can do is get yourself spiritually ready for it. Chris and I had no idea that by the end of 2018, we would be homeless with a bunch of stuff missing. And a car that's not quite as good as the one I had. But that's okay. Shut up. But only God knows what's going to happen. And the reason Chris and I have been able to cope, and I think we've coped okay, is because we already had a firm foundation in God. That whatever we face, we knew that God is God. That very word that we heard this morning, that He's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And we often look at our circumstances and go, oh, God's left me. No, He hasn't. He gets you through those things. It's not about, He doesn't take away those things. He takes you through those things. Because if He took them away, what a lovely life it would be, and we'd have no reason. Everyone would be a Christian, wouldn't they? If we all had wonderful lives, everybody would go, I'll have some of that. Now, I've had people actually say to me, privately, you know, oh, where's your God in that then? Where was your God when the fire happened? I said, He'd taken Chris and I to China so we didn't die. That's where He was. Yeah, He could have stopped the fire, yeah. But maybe there's some lessons in this fire. And you tell you what, I'm learning some of those lessons now. I'm telling you what, the fire's worth it if just driving on the road more calmly is good. Can you do Sunday school or something next week? Only God really knows. And let me tell you something. You need to be moving closer to God now, just in case. Now, that's not the reason we do it. We get closer to God because we love Him and we want to grow. We want His kingdom to grow. But if you don't do it now, you know what's going to happen? When the trouble comes, you're going to go, oh, woe is me. Why does this happen to me? My life is so bad. That's not how a Christian behaves. God, I don't know what's happening. But I know that you're in it, and that you're through it, and that you're at the other end of it. That's what we have to remember. Get closer to God now. That's what Joseph did, so that when he heard that Mary was pregnant, he was able to listen to the voice of God and go, I understand. I got it, God. I got it. when Daniel was taken off into Babylon. We look at the story of Daniel, whoa, you know, so, but you know what? He'd been taken out of his home, away from everything that he knew and loved. But you know what? He was so strong in God that he could handle it. I'm not prophesying nor predicting, but if some of you are going to face something in 2019, you better get ready now. You better get ready now. Get a firm foundation. Get a firm foundation. Number three, the purpose of an inventory. An inventory centers you on the right things. You begin to focus. Okay, well, that didn't work, but this is what we've got to do now. This is what I need to do. This is where I need to be going. We need to maintain an attitude of continuing to pursue God's agenda first. First. To focus on the core business of the kingdom. You know, people think that Chris and I go to China because we think it's a doddle and it's fun. It's not. It's always really difficult. The spiritual battle alone, when you are in a place like China that is completely atheistic and God-hating, to be in that spiritual atmosphere alone is difficult enough. And then you've got the culture thing, and then you've got, you know, the stuff that happened to us last year. You know, but you know what? Why do we go? Because we put God's agenda first. If God says you're going, we're going. When he says don't go, we won't. But when he says go, we'll go. And I know that's difficult for the church, but it's no less difficult for Chris and I. I know you guys struggle. I know it's really hard. But you know what? If we want God's kingdom to extend, we've got to do what God tells us to do. We've got to look at what the right things are to do in 2019. And what we do or we don't do in the next year is going to impact eternity. Did you think of that? If there's things you do or don't do next year, they are going to impact eternity. Not just for you, but for others. If we don't go to China, if God says we should go to China, people will lose something. I don't know what that is, but they'll lose something. But if we don't go, if we do go and we're not supposed to go, then something here will suffer. Do you know how hard that is to hear the voice of God in all this? To know what's right? But our success is rooted in who God is and our willingness to trust and obey him. It's not based on the stock market. You know, like, we get so worried. You know, I watch the American dollar and the Aussie dollar against the American dollar. I'm like, oh, so bad. But you know what? What I do is not based on the stock market. It's not based on oil prices. But I did fill up when it was low. It's not based on public opinion. It's not even based on which political party is in power in a nation or how many prime ministers we have. It's not based on the shifting dollar. It's not even based on tragedy. It's not even based on tragedy. It's based entirely on the provision and faithfulness of God. James 1. 2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Who knows that sometimes we don't let perseverance do its work? You know, I said I'm feeling in limbo. I don't feel like I want to give up, but this could be the period where I give up. You hear what I'm saying? I've got to keep persevering. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep doing what needs to be done. I've got to keep changing what needs to change. I've got to do the right things. That's perseverance. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God doesn't change. When we take inventory, we've got to realize what is God's desired result. What is his ultimate aim? Let me tell you. I'll tell you what God's ultimate aim is. That none should perish. That all should come to repentance. That means souls. And our spiritual state has an impact on that. Our spiritual inventory is necessary. I think the byproduct of discipleship and obedience is God's will being done. If you want to see God's will done, discipleship and obedience is going to make that happen. So taking inventory. Here's how we are going to take inventory, or I'm going to do it, the close of this year. So the first thing is this. Number one, remove the unprofitable things. Remove the unprofitable things. That's what a business will do. This isn't selling. Let's get rid of it. Yeah, let's sell this chair cheap because it's not going, and let's bless someone with it. But remove the unprofitable things. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says this, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul's saying, I've discovered there's some things in my life that are not necessarily sinful, but they're getting in the way. They are unprofitable. So ask yourself, what's unprofitable in my life? What's getting in the way? It may not be sin, but what's getting in the way of the will of God for my life? What gets in the way of God's will? Are you willing to remove it? Are you willing to walk away from it? Are you willing to reprioritize? Often that's all it takes. It's just going, well, I can still have that, but it needs to go there. Because giving up unprofitable things always leads to receiving profitable things. Always. I remember Jesus saying this, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If you remove the unprofitable things of earth and put them in the right priority, you will gain more in the long term. Anything you give up here for God's good is ultimately gain. I remember when Paul said, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit examine your life. And when he says, that is unprofitable, be prepared to listen. Be prepared to accept that. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. You can't expect God's best if you don't give him yours. Say it again. You can't expect God's best if you don't give him yours. Too many people are giving God half of this and a bit of that and can't work out why he's not giving them everything they need or everything they want. The next thing you need to do to take inventory is you make the first step. You make the first step. Doesn't the scripture say, draw near to God and he will draw near to you? Do you see the order? Do you see the order? Too many people are going, oh God, if you do this to me, then I will. If you give me this job, then I will tithe. God says, no, no, no. The order is this. You draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. You make the first step. Don't wait for God to show you. God is saying we can be as close to him as we want to be. If you're not close to God, that's your choice. If you feel God isn't close to you, that's your choice. You didn't draw near to him first. God will be as close as you want him to be. Think about how you can draw near to God this year. There's many ways, but maybe some of you go, maybe I need to pray more. Good, do it. You know, don't try to go from no prayer to 50 minutes. Just no prayer to 10 minutes in the morning or something, and maybe add 5 here. And you know, you'll never change like that. It's like this whole weight loss thing, you know, trying to lose 5 kilos in a week. It's impossible. But think about how. Pray more. Read the Word of God more. Contemplate more. Do you know how important that is? That's a spiritual discipline. You just sit. Think. Nice. Where do you need to obey more? Where do you need to be still and know that he is God more? And the third one, no more hiding or avoiding. No more hiding or avoiding. See, a good businessman doesn't ignore stuff. We'll just keep going. If you're going to get closer to God, you cannot hide anything from him. Now, we all understand, we all know that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, that he sees all, knows all. But there are times that we try to shut his voice out, if we are honest. We try not to hear him. We foolishly think that if we ignore our conscience, the problem will go away. It doesn't work like that. Let me tell you a truth. The closer to God, the more he demands a godly lifestyle from you. But the more the desire for that comes. It's this strange paradox. God's not going to beat you over the head, because he loves you, he's going to convict you. He wants you to make the choice. And I suggest you ignore it at your peril. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything, everything, everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." You know what that means. I don't have to explain that. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about some things. Maybe just this morning even. Or maybe you've shut out his promptings at some point during this year and just coasted along thinking it's going to be all right. Are there things in your life that need to be adjusted? God says, time to have a stock take. Time to clean up, time to unclutter, get rid of the unprofitable things. Don't feel condemned about that. Stop it. Stop it. Because it's not to make you feel bad, it's actually a blessing. Actually a blessing. So do some soul searching. Have you become what Jesus called you to become? Are you going to set some faith goals this year? Maybe set some purity goals this year. Don't try to change it all at once. It's so hard to do that. But maybe God is speaking to you about something. One thing. You know what? Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. He won't come and bombard you. You did this and you did that and you did this and you did that. And this is wrong and that's wrong. You should be there. You should be there. That's what the devil does. What the Holy Spirit does, he comes along and says, that thing. That thing that you're thinking of right now. That thing that you're doing right now. That's the one. Let's work on that one. Isn't God gracious? He knows what's important in our lives. We don't all get to deal with the same thing at the same time. Because we're all different. We've all got a different call. And because of that, God says, that's actually more important for Mike, but it's not so important for you, because this is more important for you right now. No one I've ever met likes stock take. You hear people do businesses, they hate stock take. Staff hate stock take, right? I know that everyone in this church hates the audit when it comes around. Get a rush around like an idiot, make sure everything's right. No one likes a stock take. But I suggest you take stock right now. Can we have the last screen, please, Julian? Let's take stock right now. As I said, this is something we should be doing all the time. But you know what? New Year's coming. Might I suggest that you just take a little bit of time over the next week or so? Doesn't have to be before New Year's Eve. Doesn't have to be on a particular day. But maybe take some time. Maybe even put it in your phone and as a diary point. We're pretty good at using, you know, putting in this party and that thing and that fun, that and that. Let's put something in that says spiritual inventory. Spiritual stock take. Just spend a few moments in the presence of God. Say, God, what is it this year that you would like me to do for you? Because we often think, God, this is what I want from you next year. 2019, I want this, this, this. Maybe we should say, God, what is it you want? What is it you want from me? What's unprofitable? What have you tried to hide? Have you taken the first step? Well, I suggest you take that first step this morning. Draw near to God. Throw off what hinders. Now, it's time to yield. It's time to clean up. It's time to take stock. Forgetting what is behind, straining forward. That's the key. I want to close with one of my favorite scriptures. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. We're going to close with this. Don't worry about the band. I'm sure you all want to go home. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. To these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us as we come to the close of this year and the beginning of another. Let us use it wisely. Let us not just think about the things we'd like to do, like lose more weight or do more exercise or spend more time doing this and doing that. Let us hear from your Spirit this week about taking this spiritual inventory that is essential if we are going to get through 2019. But more than that, it is essential if we are going to be victorious for our God. Lord, we don't just want to survive 2019, we want to thrive in 2019. We want to make it a year of God's agenda first. We want to make it a year that says, I'm on this journey, I'm following the example that Christ set for me. Lord, help us, we pray. By the power of your Spirit, by the wonder of your word, and by your love and your grace on our lives, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. And we ask it all in the wonderful and mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Keep us safe, Lord, until we're together again. Amen.